We left off last week in the Mishnah on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Mishnah is describing different stages before the previous Mishnah also. On Mem Ches Amud Aleph, previous stages before the Churban Bayis Sheni, as things started to get worse. So Mem Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah has different stages of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, where they introduced the observance of Avelus. So we saw the first line in the Mishnah, the Pumush al Titus, that was before the ultimate destruction based on Migdash. Gozru, they made Exeru ala Torah Sakala, certain jewelry they shouldn't wear under the chuppah. Then we go to Shalay Lamed Odomiz Beno Yevonis. You shouldn't teach your children Greek. So last week we were learning the Gemara. The Gemara tells Agansa Maisa. On Amid Beis, on Mem Tes Amid Beis, Tana Rabbanon, in the narrow lines, right, about six lines before the wide lines begin. The line begins with the word Tana Rabbanon. So we saw last week the first few lines that there was Machlekes, two brothers, Beis Chashmenoi, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. One was inside the Beis Hamikdash, one was outside of the Beis Hamikdash, and they were fighting to have control. Who's going to be the Melech? Mi Barosh. And at that time there was such a melchama, so they destroyed all the crops, all the farmland around Yerushalayim was destroyed. And the din is that on Pesach, first day Chalamot Pesach, he's supposed to bring the Minchas to Omer, and on Shavuos he's supposed to bring the Shtei Alechem. The Minchas to Omer is from barley, and the Shtei Alechem is supposed to be from wheat. So normally the Mishnah says in Menachos, he's supposed to bring it from a farm that's close to Yerushalayim. You shouldn't have to travel so far. You should go to the outskirts of Yerushalayim and get it. But at that time, because of the Muhammad that was going on, so the whole farmland near Yerushalayim was destroyed, and they had to take, the Gemara quotes, they had to take the Omer on the third wide line. V'alos Hashanah Shaninu. And regarding that year, when they had the Melchama near Yerushalayim, we have in the Mishnah in Menachos, Maisel Bo Oima Migagas Tzrifin, a location far away from Yerushalayim, and the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos was brought from Bika Saint Soichem. So at that time, the Zoken Echod, we read the Braisa, there was a Zoken Echod inside the Beis HaMikdosh, so every day they would lower money, they had the Machtas HaShekel money, that's called Trumas HaLishkel money. You have to purchase Karbonis Tzibur from the Machtas HaShekel money. You can't have one Balbaz going to donate $10 million to cover the expenses from a whole year. So you're not Yotze. You're only Yotze Karbonis Tzibur, the Tamidim and Musafim that are brought every year, and the Musafim are brought on Shabbos and Yontem and Ashkodesh and Chalamoy. It has to be purchased Dafke from the Machtas HaShekel money. No one's allowed to give more than anybody else. You don't always give a machzah shekel. Every year the Bezna has to determine how much is machzah shekel this year. So they have to calculate how many people do they think are going to donate. What is the Jewish population? How many people will give the money this year? It doesn't help, they're going to give the money another 3 months. We need the money before Rosh Chodesh Nissan. How many people are going to pay on time? And how expensive is it going to be? Ashana Pshuta, Ashana Mober? Is it going to be 13 months or 12 months? How much do the behemoths cost now? How much could possibly be the inflation? How much could the behemoths possibly cost in another 12 months? They have to make the whole calculation. They have to add on a little bit to make sure that they don't make a mistake. So then they announce, this year the machzah shekel is $24.18. So then the din is, Hosha lo yarba v'hadal lo yamid. No one's allowed to give more, no one's allowed to give less. But it isn't always machzah shekel. It can never be less than machzah shekel. If they'll determine there are 25 million Jews, and if everyone will give machzah shekel, it's way more than you need. So then the halacha says machzah shekel is the minimum. Everybody has to give at least. But usually it was more than machzah shekel. So they had all the money from the machzah shekel in the Beis HaMikdash. Every day they would lower money over the wall to the people on the outside, and then they would bring up a behemoth from outside, because the behemoths were not in the Beis HaMikdash. They would lower behemoths over the wall. And then a Zoken Echod, one of the people who was inside the Beis HaMikdash, was in cahoots with the army outside. So you didn't want to tell them in regular language, don't give them the karbonis. It's in the schus of the karbonis that they're going to maintain Yerushalayim. So he said to them, he was loaz lahem, that's the last narrow line on Mem Tes on the Beis, loaz lahem, he spoke to them, v'chochmas ivanis, he spoke to them in this Greek language, And he told them, Kolzman, that you allow them to be makar. They were both religious, the people inside, people outside. They all wanted to be makar karbonis. So he hinted to the people outside, don't give them up to karbonis. So you give them karbonis, so they'll stay on, they'll keep control. So the next day, when they lowered the money that they should send in a karbon, so they sent up a pig, and the whole Eretz Yisrael was shaking, and then the whole world broke out, and they destroyed the whole area. So Boser Shor Gozer, because he mastered to the people on the outside by speaking Greek, so the Tanoim said, what a tragedy, what a terrible thing. No one should teach his children Yevanos. Shoyin. Preg di Gemara, here on the fifth wide line, that's as far as we got, one, two, three, the fourth wide line. Fourth wide line on Mem Tesson base. Reg Makasha, Eini, it's not true. How can you say that the Chachamim made a prohibition? You're not allowed to speak Greek. For Omar Rebbe, Rabbi Yudanosi said, the Eretz Yisrael, Loshen Sursi Lama, what do we need people to speak some kind of a language? You don't need Loshen Sursi. O Loshen HaKadosh, O Loshen Yevanis. In Eretz Yisrael, half the Jews spoke Hebrew and half the Jews spoke Greek. So you see, Rabbi Yudanosi says nothing wrong with speaking Greek. The Omar Rabbi Yosef, one of the Amorai made a comment, Bibov, Loshen Arami Lama, what do you need Aramaic for? O Loshen HaKadosh, O Loshen Parsi. So don't you see from the statement of Rebbe, from Rabbi Yudan Nasi, there's nothing wrong with speaking Greek in Eretz Yisrael. Everything more, no, they're two different things. Loshen Yevanos Lechud, V'chachmas Yevanos Lechud. To speak Greek, that's nothing wrong with that. To write Greek, speak Greek, nothing wrong. In fact, the Mishnah says in Megillah that you can, we paskin like the Tana, Machlegis HaTana, we paskin like the Tana, you're only allowed to write a Sefer Torah either in Ksav Ashuris or in Greek, translation in Greek letters. And even into the 1500s, I think in Constantinople, the minhag still was that they were laying mafta yoina from Greek to demonstrate that that's the din. Once a year, they were laying mafta yoina by the Sfaradish Akila din, from a Greek text of a treos. So the Gemara answers, to speak Greek and to write Greek and to write a Tanakh in Greek is perfectly okay. But Chachmas Yevanos das anan dazach. It's some kind of a funny way of speaking.
Slang
of Greek. So that the Chachamim said that's prohibited. Freg di Gemara, and is that true? V'chachmas Yevanos mi asira. So he just limited it. He said Loshen Yevanos is kosher, but Chachmas Yevanos, the slang of the Greek Talmudish. Freg di Gemara, it's also not true. V'am Rav Yudah, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Shimon Gamliel, my dechsiv. He's not really. Rashi says my dechsiv doesn't make any sense over here. What he's commenting on the pasuk, he's not commenting on the pasuk. He's just saying, "Eini olalol lenafshi mikol benoi siri." I have what to cry about. So he said, "The Yidden in every generation, the Yidden went through the war, have what to cry about. The Yidden went through the churban habayis, have what to cry about." So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so he says, "I saw all these terrible tragedies b'shas churban habayis, and I have what to cry about." What did he see? Elef yilodim hoy bebei sabo. There were 1,000 children in my family. Chamesh meyos lamdu Torah, chamesh meyos lamdu Chachmas Yevanos. 500 of them learned Chachmas Yevanos, not just Loshen Yevanos, Chachmas Yevanos. And then, at the time of the Melchama, when they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, the Leinish Tarmehem from all the 1,000 members, all the cousins and the distant relatives and everybody, Leinish Tarmehem El Anikan, I survived, Uben Achiyabo the Asya, and a cousin, a nephew of my father, a cousin of mine in Asia. So you see that 500 people in the family, and it was with the approval of the Rabbonim. His father was the chief rabbi. So they permitted the young teenagers, I guess, to study Chochmas Yevanos. So you just tell me that they made Gzera de Rabbonim that you're not allowed to? And for the Gemara, no, it's a different story. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's father was Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi. And for the Gemara, Shainish al Beis Rabbi Gamliel and the family of Rabbi Gamliel, the chief rabbi had a responsibility to deal with the government at that time, with the Roman government. Shainish Beis Rabbi Gamliel, the Kareim la Malchus Hoyu. If you Kareim la Malchus, then we give you certain coolers that we wouldn't give to anybody else. The Tanya, we have the following Braisa. Misaper Kaimi, Harezemi Darki Ho Amoiri. The Chumash says that you're not allowed to do B'chukasem Lois Alecho. You're not allowed to imitate the goyim. What says chuk hasem? Let's say the goyim speak English. So you're not allowed to speak English. It's a chuk has goyim. So we assume it's not a chuk has goyim. So what is chuk has goyim? Chok means something belitam. If they have a style, a haircut style, like the Mishugan, the Hare Krishnas, they shave off all the hair and they have the hair in the middle, funny shape. Or if you have a crazy style of clothing, different kind of dressing and so on, so that's a chok, something belitam, something silly, arbitrary belitam, so that's chukasak. So the Brisa list of Mesapik Koim, when someone takes such a funny haircut, Areza Midarki Hamari, that's an Isa of Chukas Hagoyim. Here there's a big machlokes whether this is an Isa deraisa and Isa derabbanan. So the Rambam quotes this in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, but he quotes all the dinim of Chukas Hakam, and the Rambam writes, he thinks that this is an Isa deraisa. And nonetheless, the next line in the Brisa says, Avtulus ben Reuven, a certain politician, his manatanaim, they permitted, the Rabbanim permitted him to take such a crazy haircut, because he had to deal with the Goyim. He was a politician representing the Jews, he had to deal with the Goyim. So they allowed him. So does the Chapela, that's what the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam, Rabbi Yosef Kara has a commentary on the side of the Rambam, Kesef Mishnah. So in fact, Akasha, if it's an Isa, if it's only an Isa, the Rabbanim like others hold, so hey mom, you're dealing with an Isa de Rabbanon, so it's a Shas Hatchak, so the Chacham have a right to be Mater. If you're dealing with the governments, so sometimes you have to be Mekon. But if the Rambam holds that it's an Isa de Raisa, and Aver de Raisa, the only head you have to violate is if there's a Pikoch Nefesh, or Sufik, or Sfek Sfek, or Pikoch Nefesh. But just Korav Lamalchus alone, why is that permissible to violate an Isa de Raisa? So the Kesef Mishnah has two Terutzim on the Kash. So one teretz he gives is that someone in politics who represents Medinas Yisrael, sometimes it's a pikuach nefesh, sometimes it's everything in politics. If you're representing the Medina, and you have to deal with the goyish, you have to deal with the church, and you have to deal with the other representatives from the other governments, a lot of times it will be a suffix, sakanas nefesh.
Many times you went to Rome to revoke the edicts, you know?
Yeah. Some of them were pikuach nefesh mamish.
What about tefillah?
What about what?
If you daven tefillah be yavanit.
To daven, you can daven in any translation. Yeah, we paskin. That's where we started learning here. Eilu lemar. That it says we paskin can even recite Kriya Shema in translation, and davening and benching for sure in translation. Tefillah. Birchas Hamazon, you can say in translation. Okay, it's more gishmak to say in the original Hebrew. That's a zicharazo. About the more gishmak. Yeah. In Germany, I think we mentioned it. In Germany, when the Reform movement first began, so first they were really Orthodox. They weren't so Reform. And everything, any shinui that they made was really al pi shulchan aruch. Everything was ausgehalten. So one of the first things that they did was that they introduced that they should daven in German instead of davening in Hebrew, because a lot of people didn't understand Hebrew. And even though the Gemara says, I think we had it here, the Gemara says that when a person davens b'tzibur, so you don't need the malachim to present your prayers to the Ribbon Shalom. The prayers go directly. When you daven mitzibah, when you daven bichidus, then the Gemara says the prayers don't go directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to have malachim to present it. Then the Gemara says you shouldn't daven in aramis because the malachi asharis are not makirim loshen aramis. So the Rishonim ask, what do you mean? All the shivim loshen, Spanish and Italian and Portuguese and in English, all the language they understand. Punt loshen aramis they don't understand. How can that be? It doesn't make sense. So the Rebbe writes in the Tmim Deim, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, the Rebbe writes, it doesn't mean they don't understand Aramaic. Aramis means the vernacular. That was the spoken language in Bovel. The Goyim in the street spoke Aramis. So the Malachi Asharis Haim Akira means they understand what you're saying. They think it's a busha, it's a bizoyan, a person should daven in the vernacular, so push it. So if you're going to daven in the vernacular, they won't present your prayers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you daven b'tzibur, then you may pray in the vernacular. So that's what the Reform, the original Reform, weren't Reform first, they were Orthodox. So they said, if they got a daven b'tzibur on Shabbat, whoever davens b'yichidus should take a daven from Hebrew. Let them daven in the original Hebrew. If you're going to daven tefillah b'tzibur, so then we permit you to daven b'loshen aramis, aramis meaning vernacular, so you can daven in German. So all the Gedolim were opposed to this. No one was consulted. The Reform introduced, they said, it's in Shulchan Aruch like that. So you don't have to consult the Rabbanim. So then all the Rabbanim in that generation were all opposed, and each one gave a different reason. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius and Rabbi Kiveger and many others, everyone was opposed. Chassam Sofer, they were all opposed for various reasons. So some of them said, if they were davening in Hebrew, at least there would be an interest in learning Hebrew. Now that they're davening in German, so there's no interest by them at all to learn Hebrew, so they'll never be interested in studying Tanakh, studying Gemara. If they won't have anything to encourage them to study Hebrew. They gave other reasons why. So one of the reasons they gave is that a lot of times their translation is faulty. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius points out, he took a German translation of the Siddur, so he points out where there are a couple of major mistakes in translation. And even if the translation is not faulty, but the whole gishmak of the original, if he's saying psukim in translation, the whole gishmak of the original Hebrew is lost. There are added connotations in the Hebrew original that are lost when you say in translation.
Lose something in the translation.
What?
Lose something in the translation.
Yes, for sure. So again, so the Kesef Mishnah is bothered with this kasha according to the Rambam, who says that Mesapik, I mean to take this Goyish haircut, constitutes an Issa deraisa. So how do we permit the Krovim LaMalchus to take such a haircut? There's no Sakonas Nefoshes, doesn't seem to be only an Issa deRabbanan. So one suggestion he gives is that Tzorchei HaMalchus are considered Sofik Sakonas Nefoshes. A lot of times, the politician negotiating, representing the Jewish people, negotiating with the Goyish politicians, a lot of times there is Sakonas Nefesh. Then he gives another suggestion that's a little bit unclear, that's what there's a lot of literature on, that this prohibition of Chukasem, Lo Yisalech, Chukas HaGoyim, is vague in the Chumash. You don't know what it refers to. So this is what we would call the Mesara HaKosav Elo LaChachamim. Torah leaves it up to the Rabbanim to determine what's included and what's not included. Once the Chacham determined what's included, then we assume that's a biblical Isser, that's an Isser deraisa, it's not an Isser derabbanan. But since it's considered loy mesara kos ve'la chachamim, so the Chacham had the right to declare that whoever is karv lamalchus is not in violation of the din. So that's what the later commentaries ask. Why? Well, how did they wave a magic wand over here? They had the right to determine, the rabbanim in every generation have to determine what is and what is not included in the chus ha-goy. Once they decide that taking such a haircut is chukas agoyim, so how can you make an exception to the rule? It's not a din derabbanan, it's a din deraisa. So how do they have the right to make an exception to the rule?
Maybe they're okay, but kum vase, they're okay the Torah, but kum vase.
Right, that's the kasha. How do they have?
Chalamayit
also. No, so they made the chumish, that's where the Gemara has it. The Gemara says it's unclear in the chumish to what extent you have to abstain from Malach HaChalamayit. It's not the same as Shabbos, it's not the same as Yontem, but it's not the same as a weekday. So it's unclear. So the Gemara says, that's right, L'masara Kosev El Lachachamim. It's up to the rabbis to determine. So what does that mean? That's a Gemara Chagiga. So that's a Machloikas, different opinions in Tosis. One opinion is, L'masara Kosev El Lachachamim, that's the Loshana Gemara there, means that Malachas Chalamayit is only awesome at the Rabbanon. The Torah gives the rabbis the right to invent a din derabbanan. So the whole prohibition against doing Malach HaChalamayit is only midderabbanan. That's the popular notion in Tosfos. And Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Shulchan Aruch paskens like that. The whole prohibition, Malach HaChalamayit, is only midderabbanan. The Ramah doesn't pasken like that. The Ramah paskens like the other view in Tosfos. No. No, Masar Kas Malach HaChamim means that it's an Issa deraisa, but it's up to the Chachamim to determine what's included, what's not included. So they made klolim. They developed klolim, davar ha'aved, and malachas hedyot, ani vein lemayochel, different klolim. But once they set up the klolim, so those are the rules and regulations, when malach is muta, when it's asa. Here, you're applying this kind of a concept. The pasuk, v'chukasem lo'yisalechu, is a little vague. We don't know what's included, what's not included. So it's up to the Chacham to determine what should be included. So once they determine that Mesapik Kaimi is included, it's an Issa Deraisa, how can they make an exception to the rule for the Korav LaMalchus?
No, that's part of the interpretation. They said, same thing, like, Hey Mama. They said, everything in case would attach to the Malchus, that's okay. That's part of the interpretation.
Because he's not doing it to imitate, because he's not doing it. The whole prohibition of Chukas Hakam is, because if you're imitating the others, you're going to be nigra, you're going to schlep along. Human beings are usually social animals. So most people are followers. Hardly anybody's a leader. Most people are followers. So if you're going to imitate the style of talking and the style of dressing and the style of haircuts and so on, so then you'll be nigra after the whole Goyish society, and that'll be a tragedy. So it means one is a politician, won't be Nigra. He'll be on the guard all the time. Okay.
Could be. Where is this L'shem of Hodazor? Rashi says it's L'shem of Hodazor. So it's right of Hodazor?
Yeah. So you say if it's a Korav L'malchus, he's not doing it to imitate the guy. He's doing it because he knows he has to speak. When it's forbidden, it's an Abizrai of Avodazor. But when it's permissible, it's permissible. Okay. Okay. So that's how the Brisa begins. Mesapekayimi is Dakir Hamayri. But if an individual is a Korav Lamalchus, then he's permitted to be Mesapekayimi. And then the second half of the Brisa says what we just said before. Shall base Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Gamliel's family, that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said. In my father's family, there were Elaf Yelodim, there were 1,000 children, the whole family all together. 500 were learning Torah, 500 were in politics. That's exactly what they said before. At the time of the Melchama between Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, and the Zaken Echod who came up with this awful idea, they should stop supplying them with karbonis because he spoke Goloshen Chachmas Yevanis. So that's why the Chachamim prohibited using that slang of Greek.
If it's Korav L'malchus, it would be a higher level language.
Speak beremes. I don't know, Rashi says the Chochmas Yevanis means to speak beremes instead of speaking explicitly.
So should. Okay.
Then the Mishnah continues with the Avelis over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah says, "Bupulmas Achron." The second line in the Mishnah, "Mem Tesemanal." Pulmas is a war, like you say, a pulmas when there's a dispute, when people write articles attacking each other. So that's called polemics. A pulmas is a polemic.
Well, what was the word you used? You used the word before.
Polemic.
Pulmas.
Pulmas, yeah.
You give a translation. What's the translation?
A melchama. Pulmas means a melchama. Yeah. So in the last war,
Rashi's a child though, said polemics.
Uh-huh. Okay, but when you speak about polemics, it's not really chayil, it's a battle. It's a war. Yeah. So the polemics of Achron in the last battle when the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, so then they added another level of avelus over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Gozer shalatetz akala bapir yimetochayir. When they carry the kala from the parents' home to the chuppah, they used to carry on a fancy chair that was draped with all kinds of cloth. Some of the rabbanim introduced at the time of the Churban, we should discontinue it. But Rabbi Seina Hitira, in the later generations, they lifted that prohibition. And look, the other gzeres, they don't have to have this as well. Rabbi Seina Hitira shetetz akala bapir yimetochayir. In the next generation, they allowed. And then the Mishnah just continues to talk about years after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So it says, Mishemes Reb Meir during his lifetime was known as a Meiridika Darshan. He used to give Mishalim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes some of the Mishalim, hundreds of Mishalim. The Gemara only quotes one, but they have hundreds of Mishalim. What does Rashi quote from Sanhedrin? When he would give a public talk, one third of the talk would be Shmaita Halacha, one third Tilta would be Agarta, and one third would be Mishalim. So Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel, Butler Moshalim Mishalim. No, the Gemara just has one Moshal, I think, in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Ches, from all the drushes.
The Gemara before, how come it says by time when we should sneeze?
I don't know. The Gemara said Mishum Tzniusa. Yeah, I don't know. Why does it mean Tzniusa? That could also be. That could be. Yeah, but I would have said Mishum Avelos. So why does it say Tznius? I'm not sure. This Gemara gives the reason for the Mishnah. Tznius. I don't know.
They brought it back because of
Tznius. When the Kala goes
in
the street, she should be fully decked as opposed to. The original Gzair was the Mimavakalin. Then they brought it back.
They brought it back, Mishum Tznius.
Yes, but here, he to her Akhama. It says he to her Akhama. Originally was Zosher.
That's not on this.
Yeah, the Pashab Shat, the Tzniyas goes on the original Isa, not on the Heta.
That's why
Hetira we should have. Don't know. So now the Gemara is saying different stages in history when different Tanoim died, that was the end of an era. So they say, Mishameis Reb Meir, Botla Moshele Mishalim. He was famous. One third of all of his drushes used to be Mishalim to explain things. So after he died, no one else was able to give such Mishalim. Mishameis Ben Azai, Botla Hashakdonim. Ben Azai, Rashi quotes, Ben Azai was a bacher, and he never got married. One version has it that he got married and he got divorced the next day. He was such a masmid, he had no patience for a wife. He was a nafshka choshka bater. So that was to an extreme. Mm-hmm. That was to an extreme. So that's what the Mishnah says, Mishmeiz Ben Azai, Batlu Hashakdan. We don't have anybody like that anymore. He's so crazy about learning that he doesn't have time for a wife. Mishmeiz Ben Zayma. Unfortunately, okay.
What's the
title Shakdan and people who learn Behasmada Maruba to an extreme, to the extent that he didn't have patience for a wife.
He
never got married or he got divorced right after he got married. The one in the first paragraph is going to talk about what's the story. How did Ben Azai know about marriage if he was never married? So the Gemara is going to discuss.
It's like a priest.
Okay. Mishmeiz Ben Zayma Batlu Hadarshanim. So Rashi refers you to the Gemara and Brachas that we have in the Haggadah on Pesach night, that we have a din, there's a mitzvah on Pesach night, Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, mitzvah the Sapi Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, and every day of the year there's not a mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, but there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why we say the third parasha in Kriyat Shema. The first two parashas say B'shach B'chav Kamecha. You should recite this in the morning and the evening. The third parasha doesn't say B'shach B'chav Kamecha. So why do we recite it? So it's because of the last pasuk, Asher Tzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. And the obligation is to mention B'kitzer. Zechira means to mention. Sipi Yitzchak means Barichas. A Pesach night, Kalamar B'lesap Ereza Meshubach. And every day of the year, it's not the mitzvah Kalamar B'lesap, you just mention B'kitzer. So Ben Zayma is the one, Achabba Ben Zayma Drasha. Ben Zayma was the one, as quoted in the Haggadah, that he figured out the Drasha from the Pasuk. That the Pasuk says you should bring Korban Pesach every year, Leman Tizkar, Sem Tzeizcha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimecha Yecha, Yimecha Yecha Ayamim, Kol Yimecha Yecha Halilos. So he understood the Pashab Shat, and the Pasuk is you should bring Korban Pesach once a year on Erev Pesach, in order that you should remember all year long Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Ben Zayma understands it differently. You should bring Korban Pesach, and in addition, Laman Tizkar means Laman Tazkir. Not once a year you bring Korban Pesach, and this will remind you once a year, you won't forget. No. Laman Tazkir, you should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, Kol Yimecha Yecha, Yimecha Yecha Hayamim, Kol Yimecha Yecha Halilos, they call this Marbe. So that Gansa Drosha was from Ben Zayma, and apparently he was an expert at making other drushes to read dinim in between the lines. That's called Midash HaTernid Reshes Pem. The Chumash changes from masculine to feminine, from singular to plural. Sometimes a word is spelled mole, sometimes a word is spelled chaser. So whenever you notice some shinui, or you have an extra word, an extra letter, so the Tanoim Darshan, that's called drushes. So Mishameis Ben Zayma, when he passed away, Batlo HaDarshan, he was an expert at reading in between the lines, darshaning dinim. When he died, that was the end of that era.
What the Brash Rabbi Shmuel also did that? He was an expert more.
Apparently, he was a bigger mumche. He was the last there. Rabbi Shmuel maybe was earlier. I don't know. Mishameis Ben Zayma, that was the end of an era of really knowing how to darshan. Mishameis Rabbi Akiva, Batl Kavod HaTorah. What is Batl Kavod HaTorah? So Rashi says, there's an Agadat and Menachas that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai and the Rebbeinu Shalom showed him the whole Sefer Torah, so he said, okay, I'm going to give you the Sefer Torah. So he's about to give him, so the Rebbeinu Shalom says, wait a minute, I have to put on Chachkalov. So the Rebbeinu Shalom starts making Tagim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's good the way it is. What do you need all the Tagim for? No, there's going to be a Tana, it's going to become many generations later, it's going to darshan on every Tag. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what is he going to darshan? So the Rebbeinu Shalom shows him a whole video of Rabbi Akiva giving a shir. Moshe Rabbeinu went out of the kelim. So he says, so what are you giving me the Torah? He said, give him, let him get the Torah. So, and the Gemara doesn't mention one drosha. You want to know, do we have anything left? Nothing. At least by Rabbi Meir, with his Mishalim, so the Gemara Sanhedrin, I think, quotes one Mashal from the many droshas that Rabbi Meir gave. To all the Mishalim, the Gemara quotes one Mashal. Rabbi Akiva, there isn't one drasha mentioned in the Gemara, because we don't paskin like this. This is not for midrash atarne drashas ben. But the Rabban Shalom still put the tagim into the chumash, because that's eila v'eila devila kim chaim. That's one mahalach, and that's not the accepted mahalach. Rabban Shalom knew that it's going to be a tana who wants the darshan tagim, so he put in tagim. But halacha lemaisa, the Gemara doesn't quote one drasha based on tagim, because we don't paskin like that. So that's. There's a machlekes a rishonim. We paskin it's kosher even without tagim. If the tagim are there, they don't touch the letters. That pasul, that's worse, because if the tagim are like a yud or a vav, so if the tagim are connected with the letters, so it's a letter with tagim. The Gemara says there are seven letters. Shatnez gets shin ayin tes nun zayin gimel tzadik are the seven letters that have to have tagim. So if the tagim are connected with the letter properly, so that's part of the tzuras ois. If the tagim are not connected, then it's like a yud or a vav that's floating around. So you have an extra letter, pasul the sefer term. So we paskin without tagim, it's kosher. And there have been a time in Taisvus and Menachos holds without tagim is pasul. Sometimes they had to have an intuition to tell whether this is only an asmachta or it's for real. Yeah, we don't today. We don't have the knack. We don't have the technique of darshaning psukim at all. The Ramchal, the author of Ramesh Chaim Letzata, the author of the Mesilas Visharim, wrote also a collection of different essays. And one of his essays, he quotes from the Midrashim that in the days of the earlier Tanoim, they knew how to darshan Midrash Atarne Reshes Bem to figure out scientific facts. The Gemara has on the first perek in Pchairis that the scholars in Athens, the Sovet de Beatuna, were trying to ascertain something in science, and the Rabbi Shua ben Chananya came to visit Athens, and they asked him, he said, wait a minute, give me a Sefer Torah. He made a klal prata klal, and he told him what the fact is, and then they experimented, and it turned out that he was right. They knew how to darshan. If you want to darshan, if you want to figure out facts of science, it has to be from Parshas Bereishis, when the Baruch Shalom created the world. So he was able to use Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bem to figure out scientific information. Or the Ramchal quotes in that essay, a Medrash on Shir Hashirim, Shir Hashirim Rabbah, where one Tana says Adrosha, the other Tana says, where'd you get that from? So he said, you never heard of it? And whenever it says this phrase in Shir Hashirim means this, so he said, I never heard of it. So he shows that already Bizman HaTanoim, some of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem had already been lost. Today we don't know at all how to use any of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem. The Midrash that are mentioned in the Siddur, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, some of them never appear in the Gemara. Some of them absolutely never appear. They only appear in the Torah's Kohanim. The Gemara doesn't appear. A lot of times when you learn Zvachim and Menachos, so the Gemara has Dinim. So Tosis asks, where did they figure out all these Dinim from? The Tosis constructs a whole limud. Must be a pasuk here and a pasuk there and a ganze drasha. So more than 50% of the time, you look in the back of the Gemara. So they'll give you the Achren will give you Mar Mekaymus to the Torah's Kohanim. More than 50% of the time, Tosis guesses wrong. Tosis didn't have the Torah's Kohanim, so they didn't know what the drasha was. You look in the Torah's Kohanim and ganze in a different drasha. The drashas that we're not familiar with at all. But apparently, the Tanoim who were making these drashas, they had an intuitive feeling. So they could tell you which drasha is a real bona fide drasha, and which is only an asmachta. Yeah, Zereshav, you have to have a masar. Yeah. So that's what Rashi interprets Mishmeser Rabbi Kiva Batal Kavod HaTorah, because Rabbi Kiva made it that every letter in the Sefer Torah and every tag and every phrase, it's a machlek. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva holds Loi Dibur Torah Kedushin Bnei Adam. People, when they talk, they repeat themselves, so you say the same thing twice. So Rabbi Kiva says, the Chumash is lo dibur Torah Kedushin Bnei Adam. When it says, Mos Yumas, Ahanek Tanik, Anosin Tit, and Apasach Tiftach, whenever you have the Shinas Kfulim, many times you have the Shinas Kfulim. So Rabbi Shmuel says, dibur Torah Kedushin Bnei Adam doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, the way people talk, and people say a lot of extra words. And Rabbi Akiva's opinion is the accepted opinion. Lo dibur Torah Kedushin Bnei Adam. If the Torah has Lashonis Kfulim, you assume that it's coming to be Marba something. So that's called Kavod HaTorah, that every letter and every word in the Sefer Torah and every tag has a meaning. So when Rabbi Akiva died, there was nobody after his period who, that was the end of a tkufa. No one knew how to darshan like him.
How could they do it in Greek then? If they translate in Greek, all that is lost.
It is lost. Anachanami.
Why is it much to do?
It's a kosher Sefer Torah. You won't be able to darshan? Okay. Mishmeis Rab Chanina ben Doisa. Chanina ben Doisa, I don't think he's ever quoted in the Gemara for any halacha. The Gemara just quotes. He was a big tzaddik, Abal Moifes, like Achsidus Rebbe. Many years ago, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, at that time the sixth Rebbe, the Rayatz, what is that, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, I forgot his name. So he published a whole essay, a Kabbalistic interpretation of Shoshan Ogech HaSapor. The Poshib Shat, I have an ox and it kills your cow, so you gotta pay. He gave a whole Kabbalistic interpretation. So all of the Litvish in New York, all Litvish Habonim are very upset. Well, it's Hakta Chayni. It's Shoshan Ogech HaSapor. So they got Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yoshe Yadirov, they got him to write a whole attack. There used to be a newspaper in Boston, a weekly. It used to be half in Yiddish and half in Hebrew, so he wrote a whole attack against him under a pseudonym. Okay. So then a week later he gets a telephone call from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that he knows that he comes into New York from time to time. Next time he comes in, could he please come to visit him? So he figured he's going to give me over the head. So he came to visit him. He didn't say a word about that. He just said that my father and your grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, hit it off very well together. And he told him over some stories that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik took very extreme positions when they had the meeting of the Agudas Rabbanim. Rabban took very extreme positions, and my father, Zokter, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, always supported Rav Chaim. And he shook his Rabbi Yoshe Be'ez hand. He said, "I hope the two of us will work together also." That was the whole meeting. And then he asked him, could he speak at the next fundraising Malama Malka that they're going to have? Could he speak at the fundraising function? So he spoke, Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke, and then the Lubavitcher printed up the drosha that he gave. So he was comparing, the theme of the drosha was, he was comparing that Lubavitcher Rebbe to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, that he was a Bal Moifes. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, the Gemara in Tainis, has a lot of stories. Everything, Rashi quotes some of them, I think. Yeah, Rashi says, Tainis daf chafei. That they that someone built the house and the beams for the roofs weren't long enough. They built the frame of the house, then they were supposed to put the beams on top. The beams weren't long enough, so he made a moifus that the beams got longer. So Rav Soloveitchik was telling over different stories from Chanina ben Doisa, all the Maseches Tainis. He was showing the way similar things happened with that Lubavitcher Rebbe, with the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. He compared him to Chanina ben Doisa was like Achsidish Rebbe in the days of the Talmud. So that's what they call Botlo Anshe Maisa. The Tzadikim, that was the end of that era. Vishemeis Rav Yossi Katanta, that's how they used to call him. There was a Tana Rav Yossi, and then there was a Tana Rav Yossi Katanto. So Posko Chasidim. That was the end of the Tkufa of Chasidim. Volamadik Rishma Katanto, what kind of a Loshan is that? What kind of a nickname? Shoy Katanto Shalach Chasidim. Rashi says Katanta means that was the end of the period of the Chasidim. Probably medakta kimi mitzvahs in the days of the Tanaim, so there were hardly any left. So he was miktani achasidim, means from the last survivors of that kufa of the chasidim. Mishemeis Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai was a chief rabbi. Botel ziv hachochma. So Rashi says he doesn't know what this is supposed to correspond to. Rashi writes zeh lo yadainemaihi. All the other things Rashi gives a bekiyas. This is a Gemara in Brachas, and this is a Gemara in Tainus, and this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is a different Gemara. Everything Rashi knows, and Gemara in Menachas by Rabbi Kiva, says he doesn't know what this is alluding to. Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai was a chief rabbi. Okay? Gemara says he lived to the age of 120. He made 9 Gzeir, he made 9 Takonas Rabban. He says he doesn't know why it's called Ziv HaChochma. What was unique about Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai that after he died, they saw that that was the end of the period. Mishemeis Rabbi Gamliel Hazokain. There were two different Rabbi Gamliel. So the first, there was Rabbi Gamliel Azok and Rabbi Gamliel the Yavne. So Rabbi Gamliel Azok, and when he died, Botel Kavod HaTorah. What is that referring to? So that Rashi knows what it's referring to. It says on the side, Megillah Chaf Aleph. Megillah, it says, until the days of Rabbi Gamliel, and including that people used to learn always standing. They stood by shtend and they would stand out of kavod hatorah. And when he passed away, yorda chul shel olam, everybody became upgeshvach, and everybody learned sitting down. And the Beis Medrash, everybody learned sitting down. And one who wants to really show kavod hatorah should learn standing up. It's not too healthy. Yeah, it's not too healthy to stand all day long. They have in their books, when they write the biography of the Balei Musar, so they have there about Rabbi Simcha Zisel, Ziv. He was one of the most outstanding students of Rabbi Saul Salanter. So when he was younger, he used to, out of kavod hatorah, he would always stand, learn by a shtender in a standing position. Then when he reached his old age, he could hardly stand at all. His legs were so ruined. So when he used to daven on Rosh Hashanah, along with Shemana Esrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, he had to sit down in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. He ruined his feet, he ruined his legs, yeah. Yeah. I don't know, a different aspect of kavod hatorah. Kavod hatorah of Rabbi Akiva meant about darshaning psukim. He was a knockout darshan. And Rabbi Gamliel's kavod hatorah means standing up, showing kavod to the Torah. Not how the Torah is so mechubad. We should show kavod to the Torah. You're right. The same phrase is used twice, but it has a different connotation each time.
Rabbi Gamliel, was his son Rabbi Shimon Gamliel?
Yeah, there were three Rabbi Shimon Gamliels. There were three, I think, Rabbi Shimon Gamliels. The Gemara says, Aklal, Kol Mok from Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel be Mishnah Seinu. Whenever the Mishnah quotes, a Braisa quotes, not necessarily, but whenever the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Halacha Kemosa, we always paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Rambam will often not paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Kesem Mishnah says, well, there were three different Rabbi Shimon Gamliels. It's only one of them. So you have to have Ruach HaKodesh to know. So sometimes you don't need the Ruach HaKodesh. You can tell which generation he lived in, who's he having machlekes with.
Do they know which one was the
Ken Martin? Some of the historians do know.
Yeah, the great-grandson of the first one.
First Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay.
He's actually mentioned in Josephus.
Oh, okay. So then the Mishnah continues, Mishmeis Rab Gamliel Hazokain bottle covered a Torah, because they stopped learning Torah in a standing position, and from that time on everything was going downhill. Umesa Tahara Uprishus, that people learn Torah in a state of Tahara, and their medaktik and mitzvahs and their machme Prishus, so everything went downhill. Mishmeis Rab Shmuel ben Fiabi. What? I don't know. Got to look in the history books. I don't know if it's connected. Then there was another figure, historical figure, Rabbi Shmuel ben Fiabi. Apparently, Rashi quotes he was a very wealthy kohen. So when he was alive, he used to have big tables, and with the tablecloths, and the kohanim were eating in a very bekavadik fashion. All the matnas kunim. And he died. Those butler zivakuna. He no longer had such a home where they had so many kohanim and in such a bekavadigah fashion. And then Mishameis Rebbe. Rebbe is the editor of the Mishnayos. So obviously, he didn't write about his own obituary. This must have been added on after Rabbi Yudah Hanasi passed away. So the Mishnah says, when Rabbi Yudah Hanasi died, Batel Anova v'Yirashet. He was known for his humility and his Yirah Shemayim. That's why Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote an encyclopedia of his Chidushei Torah. Not an encyclopedia of Shas, an encyclopedia. He had Chidush Torah and everything. So we only have Aleph and half of base. The rest they left when they were running away from the Nazis, so they left it all behind, and they went after the war. They couldn't find it. Everything apparently was destroyed. So the little that we have, Beis HaOitzer it's called, the little that we have under the letter Aleph. So he quotes, the Gemara very often quotes Brises, where Rabbi Yudah Hanasi speaks, and Rabbi Yudah Hanasi has an expression that no one else has. Omer ani, yichzok. So that's the man who's known for his humility. Always says, Omer ani. Remember, there used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi Rom. So he was a very good darshan. So he would say, Dezok tazada, unichzok. He would say, I think like this, unichzok. So that's what they all wonder. Rabbi Yudah Hanasi is known for his humility. He's the one who says, Omer ani. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, no, it depends what tone of voice he's saying and what's the inflection. It means that he would always say, I think the din is like this. L'fi ani is daiti. There were people who always, whatever they say the Fi Ani is died. So that's what it means. Rabbi would say, I'm Ani, Medachzach, I think the din should be like this. When the Talmud would ask him a din, he wouldn't say the din is X, Y, Z. He would say, I think the din is out of humility.
I think Rashi uses expressions of Rashi already also.
Yeah, Rashi does.
Yeah. Yeah. Rashi says he's guessing.
When he has no Masorah, no Rebbe.
Right. When he does know what the pshat is, so he's guessing. I think what it means is like that. Yeah. So that's it. Rebbe always said Oim Rani. Rabbi Ranasa would always say Oim Rani.
Is that an alley from Rambam to Yerali?
That what?
Yerali.
Right. Well, all of the Rambam is direct quotation, even from Gemara, from Tosefta, from Tshuvas Agoinim, except for the 98 cases, whatever, where he says Yerali. So he wants to identify that there he's not quoting. Everything else in the Rambam is quoting. When he said Yerali, that's not a quotation.
I think that's what Rashi means when he says, well, he has no ready at first to him.
Right.
He
thinks that this is the pshat.
Something.
I remember someone once asked me, we were away on vacation in the summertime. So there was someone there from Breuer's community. So Breuer's all summer long, they daven Minche on Friday afternoon at 7:10, and then the Mekabel Shabbos right after. So, and when we were in the bungalow colony, so it wasn't shach to me Mekabel Shabbos early, because one of the people who was there, and there were only 20 families, less than 20 families. So one of the people always used to drive up from, worked in the city in real estate, used to drive up 5 minutes before the shkia. So we weren't going to be Mekabel Shabbos early. We wanted him to daven with us. So this Balabas from Breuer's had a shaila. There's a din, if you go from one place to the other, so you have to observe the chumras of Mokum Shiyotze Misham. So you want to know, we're going to daven Mincha, whatever, at 8:30. Is he mechuyev to be Mekabel Shabbos at 7:10, like in Breuer's? So he comes and he asks me, so I said, I don't think so. So he asked me again the same shaila. So I said, I don't think so. So he asked me again the same shaila. So I said, I don't think so. So he said, oh, I see you don't know. Because I said, I don't think so. He's going to call Rabbi Schwab. This is a ma'aseh from 30 years ago. Calls Rabbi Schwab and he comes back 5 minutes later. Rabbi Schwab said, I don't have to. So I said, that's what I told you. He said, no, you said, I don't think so. Rabbi Schwab said, no. Got to say, no. So that's Rebbe. Rebbe used to say, I'm Rani. I think the din is like this. Instead of saying, Rabbi Aaron Kotler was known for that. When he used to give the shiurim in Europe, so that was Yodua, that he would always say, Lefi Ani is daiti. So they tell over that when the war broke out, and they were fighting with each other, what should we do? Where should we run? Which direction are they supposed to go? So one of the Bachrim, who didn't hold from Rabbi Aaron Kotler's opinions, screamed out, Vozok, Rabbi Aaron Lefi Ani is daiti. Because he would always introduce, he would always say, Lefi Ani is daiti. Yeah. Then the Gemara continues. The Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Tana Rabbanan. That's a question. This is not a hemshach of the Mishnah. So they put in that should say Tana Rabbanan. The Mishnah is over, and this is a brayser. A Pinchas ben Yoyi Raimer. Yeah. Pinchas ben Yoyer was an older contemporary of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. The Gemara tells stories where they were together. Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, Boshu Chaveirim, a Chaver is one who is learned, one is Medaktik and Mitzvahs. There was Chaver and Amoritz. Amoritz was Choshur Al Amaisris. Whatever Tvua you buy from an Amoritz, you have to be Mafish Trumas Amaisris. And the Chaverim were those who were Medaktik and Hafrashas Trumas Amaisris. So he said, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Boshu Chaverim Ubnei Chorin. They have what to be embarrassed about. They're not on the same level that they used to be in earlier generations. V'chofer Roisham. They're embarrassed. V'nidaldula Anshei Maisa. The Frum Eidin Medaktik Mimitzis. Everything is Obkeshvach Givorn. V'gover Bali Zroya U'Bali Loshen. And the people who forced the issue, They just push ahead and they're not interested in what the Torah has to say, not interested in having a consensus, what the Rabbim have to say. They force their opinion on everybody else, so those people were Govru Bali Zroya, they Balabatavimor, Bali Loshen, they have negative things to say about everybody. They Indorish, they Mevakesh, they Inshul. There's nobody interested and the welfare of the Jewish people. No one's davening to the Rebbe Shlom to protect the Jewish people. That's how Rashi reads. Ami Lanu Lishan, who can we rely on? Al Avinu Shebashamayim. The only one to rely on is the Rabbanu Shalom. They're giving a krechts that everything is going downhill. Ablez HaGod Leimer, Ablez Ben Hurkinis, is known as Ablez HaGodl. We once mentioned, the Rishalmi says that the reason why he's known as Ablez HaGodl is because he was known for his humility. And the Gemara says, we have him v'yitan l'cha. Whenever the Rabban Shalom is described as Hakel HaGodl, then it says some kind of humility, some humble act that he does. So this Rableza HaGodl, Yerushalmi, if not for that, Yerushalmi, you always get the impression Rableza HaGodl was a big takif. He just mowed everybody down. He said, I don't care what you have to say, you don't know what you're talking about, I know more than everybody put together. That's the impression that you get from the Babli all the time. The Rishami says not so, that we're reading the intonation differently, that he was always very humble.
I think Shmuel HaKotan was also humble. He called him Kotan. Shmuel HaKotan.
Shmuel HaKotan, yeah.
He was also an honor, but he was called Kotan. He's called Gadol, he's being
honored. I don't know. I don't know.
Kotan is more of a hostile.
Oh, that's what it means. Kotan. From Shmuel HaNavi. I don't know. So he makes, Rablaiz HaGadol has a comment, B'yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, also gives a krechts. There is supposed to be a Rabbanim, then there's supposed to be Malam Diktinoikis, then there's supposed to be Shamosim in the Shul. So he says, the Rabbanim, Zayin Givarim, like Malam Diktinoikis. They're not on the level of learning that they should be. Shoruch HaChimayu LeMevi Kisfaray. The Chachamim, the Rabbanim, became like Malam Diktinoikis. Usfaraya became kechazanaya, like chazanim. A chazan is a shamus in a kehillah. Chazanaya and the chazan, the shamusim, at least they know how to read the luach. No, they know how to read the luach. They became like ka'amad diara. They became like the hamaynam. So what's so bad about that? No, ba'amad diara zaychet ozla v'dildala. Everything is becoming up kishvach. Everything is lower level. Ben shoel, ben mevakesh, there's no one interested in the welfare of the Jewish people, the same as the previous Tana says, no one's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect the Jewish people. On me, yesh lehishoin, on who can be relying? Only on the Rabban Shalom. No, we have a lack of leadership. We don't have good leaders. Then the Mishnah predicts what's going to be be'ikvos Mashiach, when the footsteps, Ekev is the heel, when the footsteps of Mashiach will be coming, what's going to happen? Chutzpah Yazgi, there's going to be a lot of chutzpah in the Jewish world, it means. The Yoiker Yamir, there's going to be tremendous inflation. Everything is going to cost a fortune. Agef and Titan Piriyo, there are going to be more than enough grapes. The Hayayim Biyoker, and the wine is going to be moiridic expensive. It doesn't make sense. How can it be? If there's an abundance. Yeah, if there's an abundance of grapes, so the wine should be less expensive. Everything is kakai. And also, a simen abiyas amashiach is the hamalchus tehafich leminus, and the government will become all apikursim. Question is, which government? Which government you're talking about over here? So the poshib shot is a gemara in Sanhedrin, I think. The poshib shot means the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael is going to become apikursim. Okay? They're hastening the coming of Mashiach. They did it l'shem shamayim.
Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet. Netanyahu's son-in-law learned in the Goose Center. They say he has a Ben Torah. Son-in-law has a Ben Torah. They say that his wife goes every Friday night with the children to her father to listen to Kiddush. They drive over to the father to hear Kiddush, then they go home. But they go to hear Kiddush.
The younger son is also literally. Huh? The younger son.
Yes.
I doubt the Simeon Kippur, he didn't know.
He's holding back Bias HaMashiach. We have to tell him that's a Tignish. We got to get someone else who's an Apikiris. So this is Shaila. Who is it referring to? This Bikvis of the Mashiach, a Simon of the Kamim. A Malchus to Hafik Laminus. Which Malchus? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin in the last Berak and Sanhedrin when the Gemara talks about Bias HaMashiach. So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Kula Hafach Lavan Toharhu. So the Gemara says, Kula Hafach Lavan. When the whole Malchus will become Hafach Lavan, Apikursim, Lavan is somehow a symbol of, I only believe what I see. Black and white. Whatever I can't see with my own eyes, I don't believe it. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Pashup Shad and the Pasik means something else, that if a person has a Negat Saras, so the coin declares him as Tomei. But if the whole The Neged Saras covers the whole surface of the whole body. Kulo hafach lavan. So that's Toharu. Then the Kohen declares that he's Tohar. It can't be that if it's a Saras that covers the whole surface of the body, then he's Tohar. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the Pasuk. When the whole Malchus, Kulo hafach lavan, the whole Malchus will become Apikursim, so Toharu. That's a simon that Mashiach is on his way. So on the side of the Gemara, on the side of my Gemara, on the right-hand column on the top, where it says, I mishpat ner mitzvah, so they have in parentheses, v'hamalchus, they have a girsa from an Amsterdam edition of the Gemara. So he says, ha-malchus ha-sholetes al-roiv ha-oilam tehele minus. He says it doesn't go on the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So we can leave in Netanyahu. We'll let him daven. It goes on the, when the government ruling over roiv ha-oilam will be Apikursim. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik was once learning this perek on his mother's yartzeit. His mother's name was Pesha. He used to learn four prokem mishnayos pei ayin shin aleph. So the ayin one year he learned egla rufa. So when he got to this mishnah, he said that's a reference to the Russian, to the communist government, that they're ruling over so much of the world, and they adopted as an official policy atheism. And he said that historically, there never was such a nation in the world that adopted a policy of atheism. So he said, that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Amalchus, to Hafek Laminus, that's the simon of Bias HaMashiach. Nu ken yehi ratzon? Okay, we're waiting already. You fell apart, yeah. I don't know. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara Sanhedrin quotes the Mishnah, Amalchus, to Hafek Laminus, means the Yiddish Amalchus and Eretz Yisrael will all be minim as Apikursim. And this Amsterdam comment that they have from an edition from Amsterdam says it goes on the Goyish government, not on the Yiddish government.
But when the time was coming, there was no Malchus anyway.
There was no Yiddish Malchus.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're saying there will be a Malchus in the future. After the Hakamas HaMedina, there will be a Malchus that will be Tehafech Leminas. Yeah. The Ein Toichachas, a simon of the coming of Mashiach is, nobody can give tochacha to anybody else. Because if I'll say, how can you do that? Machal Shabbos, how can you eat treifas? You'll answer back, and you're such a tzaddik. You do this and you do that. So it's not shayach. It's not shayach to give tochacha to anybody because the one is giving the tochacha to Igoichidnish. So the other person is not going to accept the tochacha. Then the Mishnah continues to describe how awful the situation will be before the coming of Mashiach. Beis Havad Yihiel Iznus. Beis Havad is where the Sanhedrin meets. So what do you mean? The official, the Heichal Shlomo will become a place for prostitutes. What does that mean? So Rashi gives a ganze teich. Beis Havad, Zokter, all the Rabbanim will leave the Beis Havad. There won't be anybody there. And the yeshivas used to be Michutz La'ir. So what's going to be with this building, Michutz La'ir, that's no longer used by the Rabbanim for the purpose of learning? So the prostitutes will take it over and there'll be znus going on. Didn't occur to Rashi that the Rabbanim will be involved. Chas v'shalom. Rashi couldn't imagine that it means the Rabbanim will be involved in the improper activities. Rashi couldn't dream of such a thing. Nope. Let's hope Rashi will be right. So the Mishnah says, this is a simon of the coming of Mashiach. Beis Avad Yil is znus. V'ha-galil yechorev. The whole Galil will be destroyed. Then the next word in the Mishnah is problematic. V'hagavlon, some area in Eretz Yisrael also, Yishom, will also be Shmama, will be destroyed. So that, and you look in the big Mishnayos, so they have different girsas for what the word is, what section of Eretz Yisrael is it. So some say that it goes on the Hevel Aza, goes on the Gaza Strip. We don't know what it corresponds to. Hagavlon, Yishom, some area in Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. People will not be giving tzedakah to the anim who need money. It'll be a terrible situation. V'chachmas asor from Tisrach, and the Torah that the Talmid HaChachamim have will stink. No one will be interested in what they have to say. Tisrach. V'yirichet yimoaso, and those people are really Yirishamayim, will be despised. Nobody will be interested in respecting anyone with Yirishamayim. V'hoemes tehei ne'ederes, Pashup Shat. The truth will disappear. Pashup Shat. Emes tehein ne'ederes. It will be lacking emes. This is all quoted in the last perik in Sanhedrin. Perik Chelek. The Gemara has a lot of agarta about the Bias HaMashiach there. So the Gemara there gives a different title. Emes tehein ne'ederes. So the Gemara interprets the Mishnah tehein nasis adorim adorim. each group will have their own version of the emes. The Lubavitcher Chassidim have their version. The Tzapkin Chassidim have their version of the emes. The Mizrahi has their version of the emes. The Aguda has their version of the emes. The third character has their version. Everybody has a different version of emes. That's how the Gemara interprets. Emes tehei nederes. Emes will become nasis adorim adorim. Every klois, every group will have their own version of what the emes is. It's the same as saying emes tehei nederes. It'll disappear. We don't know what the emes is. The truth of the matter, everybody has miktsas emes. If any one group would have the whole emes, we would have all joined that group. If the aguda would have the whole emes, we would have all become aguda. If the Mizrahi would have had the whole emes, everybody would pack out from there, everybody would join the Mizrahi. The answer is that everybody has miktsas emes. We don't have any one group that has the whole emes. What's going to happen before Mashiach comes, ne'orim p'nei zikenim yalbinu, the younger generation will be mevazeh, they'll be mevaza the elders. They won't have respect for the elders. The elders will stand up out of respect for the young children. Instead of the younger generation having respect for the elder generation, it'll be fakert. The sons will be mevaza their fathers. Bas koma beima. The daughters will be mevaza their mothers. Kala b'chamoisa. The daughter-in-law. That's all I'm talking about. The daughter-in-law doesn't get along with the mother-in-law. Okay. The enemies of the person will be anshei beisa. The people from his own home will make tzoris for him. Pnei hador ki pnei hakelev. That's very unclear. What do you mean? Pnei hador will be ki pnei hakelev. Very unclear.
If there's a mishpacha that has wholesomeness, they're ma'akim Mashiach.
No, we hope not. We hope not. This is a difficult line. Pnei Hador ki Pnei Hakelev. What does that mean? It's probably
so. Follow the door.
So that's what they say from Rabbi Saul Salanta. He said the pshat that the dog always runs ahead of the balabas. So the dog is leading the balabas. No, the dog knows. I hold the dog on a leash. The dog knows what direction I want to go. So it looks as if the dog is the leader, but really the balabas is the leader. The dog goes in the direction that he knows the balabas wants to go. So he says the tkufa before Mashiach comes, they're going to be rabbanim, leaders of the Jewish people, but they're not going to be leading. They'll turn back, like the dog turns back behind to see which direction the balabatim want to go. So then the leaders will lead them in the direction that they want to go, but they're not going to be leaders. That's what Mishol Salanta said, that the Mishnah is complaining over the lack of leadership. Pnei hador ki pnei hakelev. Otherwise, we don't understand what does it mean that it'll be just a dor yorud. It'll be just a bizoindik dor habein einam izbayish miyavid. Children will not be embarrassed when the father. V'amei yesh lanu lishoyin al avinu shebashamayim. We have nothing else to rely on except for the Rabbanu Shalom. I think Rabbi Chana Vasserman has on the last line of the Mishnah. What does it mean when we'll feel that we've all the political maneuvering that we're doing is not helping? We'll all realize, Ein lanu lishon el avinu shebashamayim. Not that the Mishnah is giving a krechts. No, that's one of the simanim of Bias HaMashiach. When the generation will realize that all of the politicking that we do, helfnish, and we have to rely on the Bashem, we'll have to start davening. So that's one of the simanim of Bias HaMashiach. That's how Rabbi Chanan writes. In the previous times that the Mishnah has it, it doesn't read like that. And Omid Aleph, second line from the bottom, Almi lihishoyin al avinu shebashamayim. Then on the top line, Almi lishoyin, it doesn't mean it over there. But Rabbi Chana says he thinks that that's what it means over here in the last line in the Mishnah. Okay. So here the Gemara, the last 10 lines in the Perek, the Gemara comments, the Mishnah was saying when all the different Tanoim died, it was the end of an era, end of a period, and the way everything was going downhill. So the Gemara continues on the theme. So the Gemara has Tana Rabbanan, Mishanes Rablezer, Rablezer ben Hurkins, that's Rablezer Agadol, Nigna Sefer Torah. What do you mean, Rablezer Agadol knew so much as if they were, when he died, as if they were burying a whole Sefer Torah. There were so many traditions, and they would have Shilas in his generation. He said they would vote. He said they put him in Cherim, so he wasn't around whenever they had a vote. When someone would come visit him, they'd tell him, oh, what did they discuss today? He said, they discussed this. They took a vote and came out like this. He said, tell him, forget about your vote. I have a tradition from generations ago that is correct. That is the din. We don't need any vote today. So he had traditions. He was rich with traditions that the others didn't know. So that's what the Gemara had. The Brisa has a lotion. The Sefta has a lotion. When he died, it was like Nigna Sefer Torah. As if you buried the whole Sefer Torah. He had all these traditions that he never succeeded in transmitting to the others. Everything went into the grave with him. Mishameis Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer were contemporaries. He was the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Lezer. Mishameis Rabbi Yeshua. Botla Eitzo Umachshova. What does that correspond to? Does Rashi have anything? Yeah. Oh, the Gemara Chagiga, yeah. He knew how to debate the Christians. He knew how to debate with the Minim, with the Apikurism and the Christians. So that's how Rashi interprets. Botla Eitzo Machshava. There was no one. The Gemara tells there when he was about. The Gemara Chagiga tells when he was about to die. So the Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, what's going to be? Who's going to debate with the Apikursim? So he said, it's okay. The Rabbani Shalom only gives them the Kerch to Tumul, to Tanz, when we have someone who knows how to answer back. If we don't have someone to answer back, so they won't have what to Tumul about. Not exactly so, but that's what he told them on his deathbed. So that's what Rashi says is the illusion here. But later, Machshava, there's no one who knew how to debate with the Apikursim. Mishmeis Rabbi Akiva, Botlu Zroe Torah. Ministatma minus achachma. What is that? Rashi says, also learning the iyun, to darshan every letter, every word, every yois. Yeah, same as in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva darshan every letter. He said, lo dibetar kushar many others. You have to darshan every letter. Mishmeisa blazim and azaria is very wealthy, Rashi says. Rashi, the last Rashi in the Perek, quotes from Shabbos daf nun dalet. The Rabbi Lozim and Azai was so rich. Tresar alfe egli have ma'asa me'edri kol shata. Every year he would give from Meiser, 1/10 of his behemoth would be 12,000 sheep. That's a shot. What do you mean from Meiser behema? Is Mafresh Meiser behema? When did he live? That's a shaila. He lived before the Churban HaBayis. He was a little child. It was before Bar Mitzvah. It was Bar Mitzvah after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara say. So what do you mean? After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, no one's Mafresh Meiser Behem. It's a carbon. You're not supposed to. They made a takana. You're not supposed to be Mafresh Meiser Behem. What are you going to do with it? You have to wait till it gets a month? Doesn't make sense. So some Rishonim say his apotropos would be Mafresh. When he was a little child and he owned all of these farms, but the Behem is his apotropos would be Mafresh. So that's the Loshen, trace off Egli. The Rajbo says no. Who said doesn't mean? The Gemara says Rabbi Lozim and Azariah was Dor Asiri LeEzra. He was a Kohen. Ezra was a Kohen. So the Gemara says Rabbi Lozim and Azariah was Ben Achaben. He was also a Kohen. So the Rajbo there in Shabbos has a Taina on the Rishonim. How can you say that he was Mafrish Maisa Behemo? Rajbo is an interesting Taina. Kohanim don't have to give Maisa Behemo. Rezok. They're not sure where the Rajbo got that from. The Rajbo quotes such a Taina. How can it be? Huh?
You say there's a
hafrosha,
but then they take it themselves. But there has to be hafrosha.
Is that so?
The Mishnah says that.
No. Who says you don't? That what?
I think they parse the Medayka Pasuk, that Bechoris and Maisa Behema
have to give. Maisa Behema, yeah?
I think so.
I don't know. I think they ask it on the Rajbo. The Rajbo assumes like that. What do you do with Maisa Behema? Rashi says on Chumash in the Gemara. Rashi says it belongs to the farmer. He doesn't give it away to the guy. You bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and makrev it as a carbon. But many Gaonim write, no, Maisa Behem is one of the 24 Matnas Kuna. Rashi denies it. There is no such thing. So this Rashbo quotes, I think, for the Rabbeinu Hananel. Rashman Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet.
Says they get this role of Chayim, but they don't get.
They're 24 Matnas Kuna. They get 24 different Matanas. But it never says in the Gemara anyway that they get Maisa Behema. Rashi on Chumash writes at the end of B'chuk Kaisa, Rashi on the Mishnayis and Zvachim says, Maisa Behema is Labailim. Doesn't say you have to give it to the Kohen. The problem is there's a pasuk in Devar Yomim where it says that they gave the Maisa Behema to the Kohen. So the Goyim understand that that's the din. It's supposed to be given to the Kohen. May be eaten by non-Kohanim. May be eaten, but isn't a Matnas Kohuna? Let's say when you give Pidyon HaBen money, so what does the Kohen do with the Pidyon HaBen money? He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to use a Dafka for Kohanim, he can give it to a Yisrael also. Truma may not be eaten by non-Kohanim. B'chor, the flesh of a korban b'chor may not be eaten by a non-kohen. But ma'isa b'ema, when you makrib it as a korban, may be eaten by a non-kohen. But does it mean that it's not a matnas kohuna? No, it is a matnas kohuna, but it doesn't have to be eaten by kohanim. He can invite non-kohanim to eat it. So that's what the goyim are of the opinion that b'chor, that ma'isa b'ema is one of the chof talad matnas kohuna. So that's what that Rashba quotes, I think, Rabbi Nachanan. It cannot be that Rabbi Loza ben Azariah really gave Maisa Behema. What are you talking about? He's a Kohen. Kohanim don't give Maisa Behema. Sanu doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara. That's what the Rashba quotes, such an argument. So this leads him to interpret that the Maisa that he was giving was tax to the government. That he had to give 10% tax. Some countries, you give 10% of your earnings. So 10% of his annual earnings was 12,000 behemoths he gave to the Goyish government. Maisek Sofim could also be. He gave. Could be. But I'll call upon him. The Gemara says he was very wealthy. Rav Loz Ben Azariah was very wealthy. So that's what Rashi interprets here. And they say, when Rav Loz Ben Azariah passed away, Botlu Atoris HaChachma. What do you mean? Atoris HaChachma. That if you have a chacham who's wealthy and has a bekovet dikahom, a lot of times you have tamid chacham and the home is dilapidated and the shoes are rubbed out and the trousers are dirty and dusty and everything is shvach. But he was just so, he was very wealthy. He had Torah gedula b'makam echot. So that's what it says. When he died, botlo atoras chachachma. Sheateres chachamim oshram, a pasuk in Mishlei. The covet, the crown of the glory of the tamid chachamim is if they have wealth together with the Torah. He was the one mentioned in the Braisa that we have by the Mishnah there. In the Mishnah, Chanina ben Doisa was the Chassidish Rebbe. So the Braisa says the same. Chanina ben Doisa, Botlo Anshe Maisa. That was the end of the period of the Tanoim who were like Chassidish Rebbe. So he was the last one. Mishmeis Abi Yosef ben Katonto, Botlo Achassidim. Alam Nikishma Abi Yosef ben Katonto, Shem Miktani Chassidim. Okay, his father, he was from the last of the Hasidim. Shmeis ben Azai. Right. So this was his father. This is, oh no, Abi Yosef ben Katonto. I don't know. Then it says, this already said in the Mishnah, ben Azai dies, Batla Shagdan, Shmeis ben Zon, Batla Darshan, Shmeis Shem Gamliel. The last one didn't say, Shmeis Shem Gamliel. When he died, Olo Govai, there was a plague of grasshoppers. Mm-hmm. The Rabu Hatzoris, the whole world was crying when he died. There was an epidemic, and the grasshoppers came and they destroyed everything. One of the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael told me, the one that had a picture in the Mishpacha magazine with the Rabbi Machpud. So he was showing me the grasshoppers. So he tells me he remembers as a child that they used to eat these grasshoppers. I told you all the story. He was telling me this is a kosher grasshopper. He remembers as a child. So I said, how old were you, Zakti? He was before Bar Mitzvah. So I told him, the Mishnah says in the end of the second parak in Ksubis that a cotton shehigdil doesn't have the manas to tell me what happened before. So he was telling us stories. He says, as a child, he remembered whatever country, where does he come from? Yemen. So he says, the Goyish government wouldn't allow the Jews to own any farms. And the Jews were always upset about that. But when there would be an epidemic of grasshoppers, the goyim would lose because the grasshoppers would eat all of their crops. So the Jews would be rejoicing in their heart why the goyim are being punished. And then the Jews would take big bags and they would collect tens of thousands of grasshoppers. They knew which were kosher, which were not. They would collect tens of thousands and they ate them. This was nutritious food. So we're showing you how to fry the grasshoppers. Show me you have to pull off the wings, otherwise when you put them on the frying pan, they're going to fly away. So the Gemara says here, where Rav Shimon Gamliel died, there was an epidemic, the grasshoppers came and they destroyed all the crops, they ate everything up. The whole world was crying over the death of Rav Shimon Gamliel. After Rav Yehuda Nasi died, everything got worse. Then the Gemara has, the last line is the famous comment, the Mishnah says the Rebbe was the end of a period of the Tanoim who had extreme humility. Rabbi Yosef says to the one who's saying over the Mishnah, leave out the last line in the Mishnah. After Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, they're no more humble people. What about me? I'm very humble. So that's it's a funny Gemara. Ikan nos, Rashi says, Shani Anderson. I am very humble. I am very humble.
Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was an Adam Kol Adam. That doesn't make a difference.
Moshe Rabbeinu,
a person can be an Ish Emes and be no, he's an Adam.
I don't know.
Moshe
Rabbeinu knew his position. He knew he was the only one who went up at Har Sinai, but it didn't go to his head. So he was humble. He didn't let himself get carried away over the fact that he knew he was greater than everybody. He was the only one who went on the top of Har Sinai. The others had to stay down below. He knew what he was doing. He knew his position, but it didn't go to his head. That's called humility. But a person should say, hey, you should leave out in the Mishnah, Mishameis Rebbe, but Lanova, because I'm around. I'm on the same level of humility as Rabbi Yudanas. So it's a very strange Gemara. They have a famous comment from the Ragachover. I don't know if it's true. He learned not like Rashi. Rashi says, Yikan, no, Shani Anderson. I am humble. So they quote from the Ragachover that in the Talmud Yerushalmi there was an Amoira by the name Ano. So Rabbi Yosef is saying you shouldn't have the gears in the Mishnah, Mishameis Rabbi Bavano, because what about that figure? What about Rabbi Ano? Not familiar with the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's what he claims. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, there's a figure by the name Ano, and Rabbi Yosef is saying that Rashi says not so. Shani am the son. Rabbi Yosef is saying about himself, I am very humble.
He said it only because he didn't know that there is no more humility than people would not try to be humble anymore. He wanted people to know that there is still humility, so there is something to attain, to achieve.
Yes.
Really not for his own advertising, yes, but to save humanity.
Mm-hmm. It's a good comment.
Yeah.
There's a famous comment that they attribute to... Okay. They tell a story about Reb Cheska Abramsky. He was not that humble. So he once had a testifying court. He was the head dayan in London for many years till he retired to Eretz Yisrael. So he had to testify under oath. So the judge asked him, "Are you a great Torah scholar?" He said, "Yes, I'm the great. Are you? How great are you?" He says, "He's very great." So he said, "But Rabbi, don't you know that humility is isn't it a nice mida?" So he says, "But I'm under oath." So he has to tell the truth, and he's the God Lador.
He's under oath.
So he said, "I have to tell the truth. Not a time to prava nevis. I am the God Lador."
That's what my point. Anish Emes knows the truth.
Yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah. Then the Gemara says also such a strange comment. Omer Nachman Latana. The Tana is the one who is reciting. A Tana means a person who lives in the days of the Amoraim. Rav Nachman didn't know any Tanoi. Well, the Tanoim died away by the time Rav Nachman came. A Tana is a person who recites Mishnas, Mishnayos, or recites Brises to the Amoraim. So Rav Yosef didn't bump into any Tanoim either. It's a different usage of the word Tana. Tana means one who recites Brises. So Rav Yosef tells the one who's reciting the Brise, don't say Mishameis Rebbe Batla Nov, it's not true. Rav Nachman has a comment to the Tana, the one who's saying the Brise, Lo Tisni Yerushed, Dika Ano, either this Rabbi Ano, who is the great Yirei Yishamayim, or Dika Ano, this is me. We're not sure what it means. Okay. Hadron Loch Egla Rufa Slika, well, we didn't finish Saita. Maybe we'll start from the beginning now. We'll go back to, we started Saita from the very easy part, from Daf Lamed Beis. The beginning is not so hard, but it's not as easy as the end. But maybe we'll start from the beginning now. Saita, there are two types of Saita. There's a Saita Vadai and a Saita Safik. A Saita Vadai means an Eshes Ishes Insel. If we know that the woman had a married woman had an affair with someone other than her own husband, so the Pasuk says she has to get divorced from her husband, and after she gets divorced, she's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. We have in the Psukim, it says Venitma or three times. Rashi quotes it on the first Mishnah, Beis Amin Aleph. Rashi quotes it from Daf Chav Ches, that it says three times the verb vinitma, vinitma, vinitma. Why three times? So that means echad labal, echad labal, echad latruma. She has to get divorced from her husband, number one. Number two, she's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. And number three, if she's a baskoyan, she'll get divorced, and she was a kohenis, her father's a kohen, she's never allowed to eat truma. Zoyna is not permitted to eat truma. A grusha is allowed to eat truma, but a zayna is not permitted to eat truma based on a pasuk. So the Mishnah is talking about a seita safik, not a seita vaday. Seita safik is what the Chumash talks about. A man suspects that his wife had an affair with someone else other than him, and he wants to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash, that she should drink the Maim HaMorim. The Maim HaMorim is the one and only miracle that the Torah promises. The Torah usually ain't samech mal anes. You can't rely on the assumption that Boshlam is going to make a nes. Here, there's one parsha in the Torah where the Torah says you paskin a din based on a nes. She drinks the water. There's no poison in the water. It doesn't taste too good. Mix in a little offer from the karka hamishkan. But a person doesn't die if he eats a little sin. She doesn't have to drink so much. She's not going to choke. So a miracle is promised if she's guilty of znus. So she'll at least she'll start getting sick right away. She may not die immediately. If she has chusim, then she'll just start getting sick right away. And if she's innocent, she didn't do the avera, then adarabah, nothing will happen. If until now she wasn't able to have children, some miracle will occur, and now she will be able to have children. And the Gemara says that there were women who were unable, they were married for years, they couldn't have children, so they made believe. Tana. So there were the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they made believe that they made the husband suspicious, that the husband should be choshed, that they're being mezana, and they would drink the Maim HaMorim, and the miracle was promised that they'll be able to have children. So the shayla is when the husband comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants his wife to drink the Maim HaMorim, it's only if he was kine lo v'nistra, only if he warned her in advance, I'm choshed that you had, that you, if, let's say he doesn't like the fact that his wife is so friendly with the next door neighbor, but he doesn't think there's anything wrong going on. He doesn't like the next door neighbor. He doesn't like that his wife is so friendly. But he's not choshed her business. So that's not called kine lo. Kine lo means he's choshed that his wife is being mizane, and he warns her, don't be alone with him. Al tistiri imish ploni. So you first have to have kinoi, and then you have to have stira, that she stayed alone with that man. Stira is not the same as yichud. Yichud means, let's say you have 100 people working in an office, then at the end of the day, everybody leaves one by one. And then at the very end of the day, there's only one man and one woman, and they're left alone in the office. So that's yichud. That's called yichud. So sometimes there's an isa yichud, sometimes they're a heterim for yichud. Stira means that they walked into the room together. Yichud doesn't have to be they walked into the room together. And it's called stira, even if there's no isa yichud. Let's say baila ba'ir, the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin, the Gemara has all the discussions about yichud. So the Gemara says, if the woman is married and her husband is in town, so there's no isra of yichud. But it can still be stira. If the husband wants his wife, altistri mishplani, I'm chashed that you're having an affair with him. So even though strictly speaking there's no isa yichud, but it's called stira. Or let's say there's no isa yichud, a daughter with her father. So I'm chashed that my wife is having an affair with her father. So I warn her, I don't want you to be alone with your father because I'm chashed you. Biznus. So even though she's permitted to, she doesn't have to listen to me. The halacha says a daughter is permitted. Yeah, so there's no prohibition of yichud, but it's still called stira. If the husband warned his wife, altistri mishplani, so it's still called stira. So stira is not the same. Rabbi Nezer points that out. Stira is not the same as yichud. Sometimes you're in violation of yichud and it's not called stira, because they didn't go into the room together. And sometimes it's called stira, yeah, and it's not a violation of yichud.
I have to agree
with you. How could it be that what?
The other other
guy is
yichud, but not stira. That stira alone contains
yichud as well. Stira means he had the possibility of having tashmish or having a second son, right? Right.
What more than that do you need?
No, but we have a heta yichud. If
baila ba'ir,
if the husband is in town.
But you're saying it, but he confuses stira.
If the husband wants his wife, I'm choshed you
biznus,
and he's in town. So strictly speaking, she's allowed to have yichud with the other man, because that's a heter baila ba'ir. Or she's having yichud with her own father. The halacha says it's mutter. The husband is paranoid. The husband's a meshugana. So he wants altistri with your own father. So she says, I don't care what you have to say. So strictly speaking, she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't violate yichud. But it's still called stira, so she become asur al bailo. So the Mishnah discusses when the husband brings his wife, schleps his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, and he demands, he wants her to drink the Maim HaMorim, do we take his word for it? He says that I warned her in advance, and Erzok that she had stira. Do we believe him when he says all this, or do you have to have Aiden? So that's going to be a big machloekes hatanoim. Okay, so we'll leave that to next week. We'll start from the beginning.
The daughter and the father, they sit around all day in the home. The father, the daughter sit all day around at home.
Avada, so there's no problem.
Is it called yichud?
It's mutter. There's no way to say yichud. But we're talking, let's say the daughter is married. Yes. And the husband is choshed that his wife is having an affair with her father. And he warns her, altistery with your own father. So she doesn't have to listen to him. Yichud is mutter with the father. But still, if she'll be with her father, it'll pose a problem. She'll be asura to the husband. Even though she didn't do an avera, there's a heta yichud with your own father. But it'll be considered stiri, even though there's no isa yichud.
There's a problem that she wears in a place. There's a stranger there. She's the second, the old days together almost.
So if you have many people in your office and there's no yichud, at the end of the day when everybody leaves and you're going to have one man and one woman, then you're going to have a problem of yichud. Right, there won't be stira because they didn't go in together. There'll still be a problem of yichud. Torah gives us the description of the way Avraham Avinu purchases the Me'oros HaMachpelah. So the Gemara, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin says there are three ways to create Kiddushin. You can either do Kesef, you give a ring, Ha'ariyat Mekudeshesli, or Shavu Kesef, you give Shavu Kesef, Zdina Kekesef, or Shtar, you write down, or Aidei Bia. So the Gemara establishes Kiddushay Shtar is Kemat explicit in the Chumash. Kiddushay Bia is also Kemat explicit in the Chumash. So the Rambam reads in the Gemara that Kiddushay Shtar and Kiddushay Bia are Torah Shebichsav. And Kiddushay Kesef is not a goal explicit, it's only learned through Agantza Yalfusa. So the Rambam read in the Gemara that that's Torah Shebal Peh. It's only Torah Shebal Peh. Then the Rambam writes, Kvarnoga Kol Yisrael, the Kaddish Bekesef. The meaning is that the Jewish people, as opposed to means as opposed to the Karoim. The Karoim means the Orthodox Jews, as opposed to the Karoim, have chosen to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh by doing Kiddush Kesef. There are three different groups of Karoim. There were Karoim in Eretz Yisrael, the blessed with all the Karoim, from Arba Kamfas Oretz. But they have Karoim from Europe, Karoim from Asia, and Karoim from Africa. So they have different minhagim, different practices. One of the things that they all have in common, I was told, is that none of them have Kiddushay Kesef, because that's Torah Shebal Peh, and they're not Geres Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what the Rambam says. Rambam has in a few places such a lashon. Kvanog Kol Yisrael means the Orthodox Jews have chosen to do Kiddushay Kesef, Davke Shavu Kesef. We don't give Kesef, we give Davke Ring. That Shavu Kesef, Dinei Kesef, that's very Torah Shebal Peh on top of Torah Shebal Peh. That Kiddushay Kesef works is already Torah Shebal Peh. And Shavu Kesef, Dinei Kesef is Vayta Torah Shebal Peh. So we want to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. So what is the Yalfusa? The Rambam read in the Gemara like that. Tainach to Kodesh Bekasb, Kodesh Bebe, Meikel HaMeimar. So the Rambam understood in that Gemara that the Gemara is saying that Kiddushay Kesef is Torah Shebal Peh, and Shtar and Bia is Torah Shebichsav. So what is the Yalfusa? So it's learned that Kicha Kicha Mizdei Ephraim. It says, Ve'ikach Eskal Arza Miyodei, Avraham Avinu purchased the Me'oros HaMachpelah from Ephron. And there in Chumash Dvarim it says, Kiikach Ishisha Chadosha. So the verb Kiikach means to get married. And here it says, Kicha, he paid money for the Me'oros HaMachpelah. So that's how you establish that there's such a thing as Kiddushay Kesef. So the Apikursim always used to make fun of the rabbis in the Talmud that they're treating getting married like buying real estate. The farmer buys a wife, he gives the father a couple of dollars, and he buys his daughter as a wife. Isn't that a terrible way to view marriage, that the husband buys himself a wife? So Rabbi Hirsch has an essay about this in Chorev, in his volume that's called Chorev. So he points out there's a Taz in Chosh Mishpat, it's in the Kuf Tzadik, where the Taz has a Chiddush that when you buy Karka, the Kesef, it's not that Karka is worth a half a million dollars, you got to pay $500,000. No. He says it's a symbolic Kinyan. It's not kesef shavias asada. You have to pay the full amount. It's symbolic. There's even a discussion. Let's say you're giving me karka b'matona. So many hold you can be koine karka b'kesef even though matona. There is no demea mekach. How do you know that it's so? So the Taz says, because by marriage the kesef that you give is not the shavias of the woman. Either the woman is priceless or the woman is worthless. but it's not going to be that the $300 ring is the shavias of the woman. It's not kesef shavias. You're not paying the mea mekach by kiddushin. So the Taz writes, it's obvious that kiddushin kesef is not that you're paying for the wife. Fakir, that's a davar pashut, is not paying for the wife. It's a symbolic kinyan. It's a maisa kinyan. So that sheds light on the karka. Karka's nicknames be kesef. So why did the rabbis choose to learn from Zdei Ephraim? So Rehersh writes in his essay that we have a din in the Gemara. How does the husband have to treat his wife? The Gemara learns out from Sukkim, Mechabda doesn't mean just to hold the chair and to hold the door, to hold, put on her fur coat. Mechabda means to spend money on your wife. If I just got a bonus and I can either buy myself an extra suit, buy my wife an extra dress. So if my wife has 50 dresses and I have only one suit for Shabbos, one suit for weekdays, I should buy myself a suit. If I have enough clothing, she has enough clothing, and I have some extra money, so mechabda yosem igufi, you should spend the money on your wife. So to what extent is a person obligated to spend money on his wife? So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk in Chumash, Adin deraisa oilo imo, the einu yaredes imo. His mechuyev, his parents had one style of living, and the wife's parents had a different style. So he's mechuyev, if he can afford it. If he can't afford it, the din doesn't apply. If he can afford it, he has to spend so much money on his wife to the higher standard of living. That's in his family, they always have a maid. And her parents, the girl's family, they never had a maid to help out. His family, they always go Sholosh Regalim to Mexico, to Switzerland, to Eretz Yisrael, whatever. Her family only stopped with money, but they leave the money in the bank. They never go traveling anywhere. So whichever is a higher standard of living, if he can afford it, Oyla Imo, she goes up. If his parents' standard of living was higher, so she's oila ima, she goes up to his standard, the elyar anasima. But if her parents' standard of living was higher, then she doesn't go down to his. She has the better of the two worlds. So the Gemara has a discussion, what about lachamisa sishta? We learn out from Chumash that the husband is mechuyev to pay for the kvura of his wife. So let's say in one of the two families, they spend $5,000 for a matzeva. The other one, they buy a matzeva, a plain matzeva, no great cakes. So does the din oilim of any radisima, does it apply after she died already? So the Gemara says, no, she's not alive anymore. So that's what Avinah Hirsch writes. The rabbis wanted to learn out from Avram Avinah that every Jewish marriage should be like Avram Avinah. Look how much he respected his wife. Look how much he loved her, that even after she died, they're not married anymore. Doesn't apply. Still, he's prepared to spend such a fortune of money to buy such a bekovedik cemetery plot dafket to bury his wife. So he says the rabbis wanted that every Jewish marriage should be like Avram Avinu. The husband should spend money on their wives. No, we got to talk to Sven. The women are not listening. The women are not here. There are no women here.
You got to tell it to your wife. In case she doesn't
know. Mr. Cooperman is one of the sponsors on my show. Does anybody see him? Oh, yeah.
You want to give him a sample?
Because she didn't arrive yet.
The husband complained, I bought you a tombstone you never used.